Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
On the New York Stock Exchange this week, did you miss it? The machines nearly took over. Kind of like another famous event in history.
The system goes online on August 4th, 1997. Human decisions are removed from strategic defense. Skynet begins to learn at a geometric rate. It becomes self-aware at 2:14 a.m. Eastern Time, August 29th. In a panic, they try to pull the plug.
Of course, in the fictional Terminator story, it involved robots and the Defense Department. But what happened on Wall Street this week in August involved computers and a brokerage house, a loss of hundreds of millions. Oh, they tried to pull the plug, all right. The Wall Street brokerage and market maker Knight Capital Group may end up terminated by all this. Here is just some of the frantic cable financial channel reporting of this whopper of a trading glitch.
It was 148 stocks that traded bizarrely.
Right.
And when they trade bizarrely, it looked like they weren't real trades, that there was some error that sent these stocks, you know, going wild. This is what we're getting from inside the regulatory community that's looking at this. Now, who's in the regulatory community? The New York Stock Exchange and the SEC. And this is what they're telling us right now, that Knight is likely to face significant losses because of these errant trades.
That was reporter Charlie Gasparino reporting the story on CNBC as events were unfolding this week. Before that, you heard a clip from Fox News Channel, Fox Financial News Channel. Errant trades, market makers, glitches, and seemingly autonomous computers taking over the stock market. Nathaniel Popper from our partner, the New York Times, joins us now. What is the scariest thing about this complicated story for investors, Nathaniel?
Well, I think it's that this is the new world of stock trading. This is the world in which your retirement savings are being invested. And it's a world that is moving at a speed that it seems like even the smartest traders and regulators can't keep up with.
So what exactly did, and again, we don't really know, but we know a little bit. Knight Capital Group, which is a market maker in stocks, they were very involved in the Facebook IPO because of this particular role they have on Wall Street. Describe that role and what apparently happened here.
This is a company that probably a lot of people hadn't heard of before Wednesday, but it's really at the center of this new world that we have, this new evolved stock market. They're taking in trades from everyone, from big institutions down to retail investors. And in fact, sort of the center of their business is actually handling the trades that come in from places like E-Trade and Scottrade. And on top of all that, they're also trading with their own money. And the key to everything they're doing is that they're getting these trades in and they're routing them at lightning speed to different exchanges. But, you know, as we saw Wednesday, it's sometimes moving too fast for their own good.
Now, is this about some sort of algorithm failure and there's some IT person over at Knight Capital Group who's going, I need to tell you about some problems that we're seeing in the software? Or is this more of a strategic problem that goes maybe up the ranks at Knight Capital and involves just exactly the way they do business?
Well, I think that it doesn't just go up the ranks at night. It goes to the very nature of the system that we have right now, which is a system that is really evolving on a day-to-day basis. I mean, what we heard on Wednesday is that Knight was racing to finish some new trading software so that they could take advantage of a new trading platform that the New York Stock Exchange was opening up. So all of these sorts of changes, this is happening every day. And the reason it's happening every day is because these firms are competing so fiercely to get into this stock market, to get out of this stock market. And, you know, I think that the questions here are, you know, is it moving too fast for us to really have control over?
The level of losses are reported, perhaps $440 million. Knight Capital Group says it has a line of credit. It's trying to prevent itself from either being bought or having to sell. Is there a chance that Knight Capital is not going to make it here?
Yeah, I mean, I think that honestly, their best hope at this point is to be sold, because if they're not sold, probably the next most likely outcome of this is bankruptcy. And quite honestly, some of the firms that are interested in buying this for buying Knight might just, you know, bide their time until it does go bankrupt, at which point the whole company becomes a lot cheaper.
Now, Nathaniel Popper, I don't want to get you in trouble with your bosses over there at the New York Times, but let's grope around here for a metaphor that maybe describes the role Knight Capital has here. Would this be the equivalent of the firm that basically sails all the ships in the oil market all at once, basically, you know, losing its ships or sinking or basically stopping in its tracks?
I think I may be struggling for the metaphor, but I think you're hitting on something, which is that these guys were the supposed to be the most advanced, the smartest. This firm, one of the things they were known for was criticizing other firms that had technical glitches. So after the Facebook IPO, if you remember back to that, when NASDAQ sort of screwed things up and had their computers go down, the CEO of Knight was on CNBC.
He was
out there, you know, really trashing NASDAQ's handling of the situation. And it was because Knight viewed itself and others viewed it as such an advanced player in this game. And so when you see a player like that stumbling in this way, and I think, you know, we still don't have the full picture of what happened. I mean, again, this was going on for 30 to 45 minutes. And I think the question is still out there. Why wasn't the plug pulled at some point during that? But, you know, the fact that this could happen tonight really just throws this all into relief.
Two last things. There's no way in this modern stock market to go back and say, all right, let's just forget it. That just didn't quite work. We'll just redo all the trades. When something like this happens, that money is gone forever, and that's really going to affect Knight, you know, forever. And is there any recourse here that investors might have, or does Knight take the loss all by itself?
Well, I think that's another question that hasn't been answered. I mean, we know how much money Knight lost, but on each trade that Knight took there, there was somebody on the other side of it. It wasn't Knight. And so there was some other firm that was either buying or selling to Knight at a price that was out of whack. And the New York Stock Exchange did go back and break up the trades in some of the most extreme trades in five stocks. But that leaves, you know, another 125, 130 stocks that where the trades weren't broken. And in either case, if you break them or you don't break them, there are going to be investors on the other side who get stuck.
$440 million lost, $4 billion lost over there at Bank of America, J.P. Morgan Chase. Just another week in the world financial market. Nathaniel Popper, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Nathaniel Popper is a reporter for our partner, The New York Times.